Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 74 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com. I am one of your hosts, Jim Viscardi, and as always, I am joined by Christian Hoffer and Megan Peters.
Relentlessly positive, Christian Hoffer. Thank you very much.
All right.
You know what? I like that. I like that tag. We should have like those words appear next to his head on the video.
So this is a show about Pokemon, naturally, and if you like Pokemon, you're in the right place, because we talk about all of it. We talk about the video games, the trading card games, the mobile games, and everything in between. Show's broken up into three-ish parts. First part is news, news section, where we go through some headlines. Second part is the deep dive, and the third part is the Pokemon fact of the week. Somewhere in between, we take a break and tangents are had.
Yes, relentlessly positive.
I had a bit of an experience this week.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if you have followed me on, if you follow me on Instagram at Jim Viscardi.
I don't.
You've seen I have.
Wow.
I got a Champion's Path.
Oh,
Charizard.
Dang.
Did you now?
Are
okay,
you, are you going to sell it? And, like,
I have two questions.
Mortgage?
I have two questions.
It's going straight to Graydon.
One, like, was this a I bought this thing off eBay, or did
came
you
in
actually
a, came in a double V box, found a target?
All right, now Jim,
okay.
I'm a little bit shocked here. You, sir, are the editor of a little known website called comicbook.com.
I have the worst luck.
And, you know, we are in desperate need of content. It could have been you, me, and Megan opening that live, especially as we're kind of in the slow season for Pokemon.
We
needed that, Jim, and you ruined it.
Yeah, well. But it was just funny because it happened basically the same weekend that the new Japanese trading card set got announced. And sure enough, that VMAX Charizard that everyone's losing their minds over, guess what? It's going to be shiny.
Yeah.
Which was met with some mixed reactions.
Yeah.
There were a lot of people who were like, we literally just got a whole bunch of Charizards. Calm it down.
I mean, I guess we're just diving into this.
Might as well just make
the official. So, you know, Japan, there's a new Japanese Pokemon trading card set that was just announced. It's called Shiny Star. It's going to be huge, like freaking massive. Like and one of the big draws is there's going to be, I think, if I remember correctly, and let me pull it up so that we don't get yelled at about how wrong I am. Give me 1 second. Shiny Star. It's called Shiny Star V. And it's going to have over 300 cards, including 127 shiny Pokemon, which is nuts.
That's ridiculous.
And at least over in Japan, and, you know, not guaranteed over here in the United States because they do usually do mix and matches with the sets. In Japan, each booster pack will come with a guaranteed V or VMAX card, which is just
dang,
nuts. You know, that's
pretty sweet.
That is a guaranteed, because, you know, those VMAXes, those Vs and VMAX cards are rarer than like the standard rare cards that you're guaranteed to get in the booster set. So just having that is huge. And then toss in these 127 shiny Pokemon, and we are truly living in a golden age of shiny Pokemon. I think that's the best way of putting it, because you know we got the Shining Legends last year. You know, Japan's getting the shiny stars, and you know, while some among the fan base complains about how Japan gets all the cool stuff, the Pokemon trading card game is very good about just about everything that gets released over there in the trading card game gets released over here in the United States. So, I mean, we will have 127 shiny Pokemon over here in the U.S. and non-Japanese territories eventually.
Keyword there is eventually.
Well, quite frankly. So here's the other kind of interesting bit of timing, which I didn't talk about in the outline. So February's release. So usually we get four releases a year of new sets. That's, we don't quite know if that's going to be the case here in 2021, because the February release, which would usually be the 2021's like first full set release, that's going to be reserved for the 25th anniversary set that's going to be coming out. You know, which is being internally dubbed as like 4.5. So you know, we know that because you know the retailer stuff is starting to come out. So we don't know exactly what that anniversary set's going to entail. You know, quite frankly, I would think that they would save the shiny stuff in for the 2021 holiday release, which is the equivalent to Champion's Path. So there's a lot of questions going on about what's going to happen in the TCG. That's not even including the fact that we have no idea what is actually going on with Pokemon Company in 2021. Like we don't know anything. Like we don't know anything about the movie, which we'd usually know by now. We don't know anything about the games, other than we're getting Pokemon Snap, likely. Like we truly, it's all a mystery. Exciting times. Also, really terrible times if you're a Pokemon news journalist.
Hey, that just opens up the door for every speculation.
Well, think about it. Like, you know, Pokemon Journeys, you know, is doing its Sword and Shield arc. So if we actually get, like, you know, like, now, I personally do not think, I'm guessing, and this is just my speculation, that Pokemon Sword and that we will get multiple Sword and Shield arcs in Pokemon Journeys, similar to how what they did in Pokemon Sun and Moon. That they're going to kind of like split it up and do like multiple things, because you know I think that they're going to introduce like the Crown Tundra and Isle of Armor and stuff like that. So I think we'll get more arcs, but if we don't, they will have already gotten done their contractually obligated tie-in arc. So Journeys could end at any time too.
Yeah, I'd be very. Again, all speculation. I am also on board with you, Hopper, about the anime covering like the DLC kind of regions that'll be coming out. But also, Sun and Moon at the very end of the anime, it started to bring up popularity and ratings in Japan in a very big way. Kind of in the middle there, it was super low, and it even got removed from its like usual time slot in Japan, which was a pretty foreboding sign. But with Journeys, it went back to that time slot, and it's doing really well in terms of numbers, and there's been a big marketing merchandising push recently. So it looks like Pokemon Journeys is kind of on the up and up in terms of finances, which is really what, you know, anime cares about, is the profit and the revenue it's bringing in. So I feel like they will do anything and everything necessary to extend this baby for as long as possible, which is great in terms of Pokemon news for us to talk about. So I'm pretty excited about that, because we are like what, like 2 weeks away from the Japanese arc hitting the Sword and Shield stuff. So exciting times in the Galar region.
Well, that leads us, that's a natural lead in to the next topic of conversation, which is some big teases are you know, coming up for the Pokemon anime. So Megan, did I read correctly that a couple of fan favorite Pokemon might be making their grand return to Pokemon Journeys?
Yes, Hoffer, you did read that right.
I did.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Good job. Well, so one of them seems like it's a pretty likely return. A bunch of toy sets were just kind of like leaked for the Japanese audience because there's that big merchandising pushing coming through for the Sword and Shield arc. And one of them is a 3-pack Pokemon set for, in the anime, Leon, Rayhan, or Rayhan, however you want to say it, and Ash. And so of that, it includes a Charizard, which some people were at first like, oh, it's just Leon's. But Leon's already has a Pokemon in that set that's exclusive to him. So the only other person it would fit to be would be Ash's Charizard, which we have not seen for a hot minute. He's kind of, last time we saw him was, he was just kind of getting a group picture with everyone.
Yeah, it was at the end of Black and White.
Yeah, it's been like Black and White. I mean, we've
seen
him in flashbacks.
If there were ever a moment for Ash's Charizard to come back, it would be to like put Leon's Charizard in its place.
Yeah. It would be for the Rayhan and Leon, for the Leon battle. So fans are really excited about that. I mean, some people are obviously kind of tired of the whole Charizard shtick, but in terms of the anime, whenever, you know, Ash's Charizard shows up, it's a big deal because like that love hate history relationship with them is so like great to dig into.
Next to Pikachu, Charizard is Ash's most iconic Pokemon.
Absolutely.
As an Ash Bulbasaur diehard, even I'll admit that. Yeah. Even in the first of those the rebooted movies, you know, Ash only had two Pokemon and one of them was Charizard.
Yeah. You know? Like it's for sure their push play here. So fans are really excited to see how that goes. I mean, we have no idea when it could be happening, if it's going to be during the Sword and Shield arc or not, but we will find out soon enough. The other Pokemon that's recently been making rounds is Bayleaf, because we recently, in an episode, saw kind of a flashback involving Bayleaf during a previous battle. And everyone was really surprised that they went through the effort to like do a character design for Bayleaf and everything like that. And some synopses and promos have come out since that have kind of continued to hint at the fact that these kind of former starter evolutions that Ash has, you know, trained in the past will be coming back or factoring into the Galar region somehow. The Bayleaf tease is definitely more tenuous than the Charizard one because the Charizard's coming out with toys left and right. But I'm here for it. I don't care what people say about Bayleaf or Chikorita or anything like that. Like, I'm excited about it.
Listen, we've talked about on this podcast before, you know, Chikorita, the Pokemon, and its evolutionary line, great designs, great Pokemon, just hampered by the fact that in the games it sucks. Like, you know, and there's just no getting around it. Like, and I say this, I am a Chikorita stan, you know, but, you know, stats are stats. It's got a bad moveset. It's got, you know, not a great meta Pokemon. But, you know, in the grand scheme of things, you know, while we have, you know, played out this whole, like, Pokemon are in love with Ash shtick over the course of the last 25 years, you know, Chikorita was the first one of those. And I think, you know, that makes them, because I don't think their gender was ever established, an important Pokemon. I mean, it's another one of those iconic Pokemon. I mean, like it or not, you know, Pokemon from, you know, Pokemon from that, or the original series and the Johto series, which really is just a continuation of the original series, are going to be instantly memorable to an entire generation of Pokemon fans. And I don't see any reason not to lean into it. I mean, I don't know, maybe this is a controversial opinion, but I don't think that, you know, Chikorita / Bayleaf was that, like, obnoxious of a Pokemon.
It wasn't. It definitely has aged better than a lot of the Pokemon of that kind of generation of the anime. I am a big fan, and so that was one reason. I mean, fans were so blown back, because when you think of the Pokemon that the company wants to promote, I mean, you think of Charizard and you think of Lucario and you think of these, you know, quote unquote, like hot topic, hot ticket Pokemon. And unfortunately, because of Bay Leaf's in-game reputation, it isn't always associated. So, I mean, I'm all for it. Like, give it to me. Bring back Squirtle Squad while we're at it. Like, do all the nostalgia plays. So we'll see if this happens. But the fandom is about 90% sure we're definitely getting Charizard. Bayleaf's probably about a 60% chance right now until we get
I need Ash's Butterfree to come back to the Galar region.
Oh, my gosh. No. And then have it
Gigantamax. It would be amazing.
I mean, that would be cool. But
we would all cry.
We would all cry.
But
yeah, it would just be so bad.
I mean, you know me and my relentlessly positive outlook on things. But yes. Despite that, I think that if we would have gotten a Butterfree comes back, we would have had it by now. You know, like when Ash lets go of a Pokemon, even Pokemon that live like a half block away, his Pidgeot, literally lives like in the Viridian Forest. You can see it from his house. And we don't get an acknowledgement that Pokemon exists at all.
Yeah, but Pokemon Journeys is the anime that's shaking things up. It's done a lot of things.
That's true.
It's done a lot of things we never thought would happen. So if I see a Butterfree show up with a bunch of little Butterfree children and it starts like flying towards Ash with some really emotional slow-mo music,
then Ghost's going to cry. Ghost's going to suddenly start running, catch all of Butterfree's children, and that will be the root cause of Ash and Ghost's breakup.
That would truly be his villain origin story. There's no redeeming Ghost at that point.
Or like, what? It would even be even better. Like, what if one of Butterfree's baby Butterfree's like comes to like save the day and Dynamaxes and Gigantamaxes for Ash? That would make me cry too.
I think anything involving Butterfree at this point. We are just really fan casting this thing.
Hey,
then Gary Oak shows up for the first time in 20 years.
Hey, we've already established that some higher power at B is listening to this podcast. Put Butterfree in the anime.
I would say we have a better shot of seeing Gary Oak than we do of seeing Butterfree, but like if we're gonna throw some stuff out there.
Yeah, it's very accurate. Very accurate. So we'll see how this goes. We're very excited, so anime.
Yeah, like I'm actually more shocked that we haven't seen Gary show up like in the background, like from like a random phone call that Ash has had with Professor Oak.
He's a Pokemon researcher now. I don't know if it was established that he was like going on like expedition or something.
Yeah,
like maybe that's what's going on with him. But yeah, I'm a little bit surprised about that too, especially as we have, you know, consistently gotten Professor Oak in the anime series, you know, like
right. we've seen Misty and Brock and all that. I mean, you know, it feels like it would just make sense. I mean, it's Gary Oak. It's not like a show.
Yeah, we haven't seen him. We haven't seen him since.
Yeah,
he hasn't actually appeared since. So he's in the Sinnoh region. That's why.
Yeah.
So that is the reason why we haven't seen him in a while. I thought that he wasn't hanging out at Palutown, and sure enough, he's now in the Sinnoh region, and so we haven't seen him basically since, you know, because we haven't seen, so Ash hasn't like actively used any of his like older Pokemon with the exception of Charizard since that Diamond and Pearl series. And so this is also apparently the last time that we saw Professor Gary Oak too. Anyways.
Yeah, like it's ridiculous. However, I will say if we do get an episode where Ash and Go to the Sinnoh region, meet up with Gary Oak, I really, really want like Gary to try to like bluff and stuff and Ash to be like, I'm literally a champion. Like I literally am the champion of the Alola region. Whatever you say to me now has no merit. Like it cannot affect me.
It's like, hey, loser, smell you later. It's like, what, do you smell all the victory coming off of me? Like, you know, like, you gave up your dreams after I beat you multiple times.
Yeah, but look who's me. Look who's the champion now. Like, that's what I want so much. I always wanted that as a kid. I always wanted Ash to snap back, and he never did.
You know, Now that Ash is working as a research fellow, I wonder if Ash has completed, like, you know, I wonder if his name appears on more research than Gary Oak. Like, he's one-upping Gary, even, like, at his, like, second job.
Yep.
Like, because when Ash all the
Ash is truly
the
superior
research,
trainer.
Like, I don't know how academia works in the Pokemon universe. I mean, we've established that it's pretty loosey-goosey, judging from the fact they don't know how Pokemon eggs are formed. But, like, I imagine that the stuff that Ash and Go are doing has to, like, result in, like, some, like, credits on some, like, academic papers. Like, they're totally going to get published in, like, Pokemon Monthly.
Oh, like, for sure.
Scientific they have Pokemon. Like... I don't know. What are, like, the Pokemon academic journals called, you think?
Man, Poketopia, I don't know. Pokefacts, all a bunch of things. All I know is they are definitely verified on Twitter, and Gary Oak isn't. So
I just
want to know what kind of. I just want to know what kind of Pokemon Gary ended up with.
You know how, right? Like how they did the late introduction where it's like, no, his signature Pokemon is an Electivire, and everyone was like, really?
Yeah.
Man, like, yikes.
I want you to be a slow bro. That's me. Just slow bro and Gary Oak. Chilling out, being bros in the Sinnoh region.
Well, we did our deep dive like 20 minutes early. Jim, get us back on track quickly.
All right. We have a bunch of Pokemon Go news to get through, and we're going to go through some Halloween-type stuff as we get closer and closer to that. But first, let's take a break, pay for the show, and then we'll jump right into it.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, let's try and round up all the Pokemon Go news we can. Niantic celebrates the 5th anniversary. Happy birthday.
Not actually their 5th anniversary, because they've actually been around since like 2010. It's only been five years since they broke free from the shackles of Google and became their own company. Wow. Which, by the way, was made possible thanks to the Pokemon Company, because they were the ones who invested a bunch of seed money when they developed Pokemon Go. And so, you know, but you know, they released a letter like thanking everybody. Their big project is still on track. You know, they're working on
the Harry Potter game.
No, that's not a project at all. Now they're doing that AR of real world places. So they're trying to do like 3D do 3D constructs of like famous places around the world. So they mentioned that they have something like 650,000 images, like 3D images already made. So it'll be really interesting to see how that all comes up. They also have Catan, you know, they're working on turning the world into a Catan board. So that'll be interesting as a board game aficionado. I'll be interested to see that. So yeah, Niantic, happy sort of birthday.
Congratulations.
Happy real birthday.
All right. Well, if you're listening to the show now, the Thursday, you probably missed your one chance to get a World Cap Pikachu in Pokemon Go. It was available during the Spotlight Hour on Tuesday.
So I'm just going to say this. It frustrates me when Pokemon Go has, like, this is your only chance to get at something during my child's bedtime. really irks me. Like, by the time, like, 6 to 7 p.m. is get the 4-month-old down for his bedtime, and somebody might not have gotten a World Cup or World Cap Pikachu because I totally forgot about it until 7:15.
I would not have minded if we at least got a little bit of a heads up. Like, if we knew Monday that it was going to be Tuesday Spotlight Hour, I would have moved some things around. Did we?
Yeah, we did. I just didn't write it up because I was busy last week. We knew. I think we knew since October 1st because they announced it as part of like here's the stuff that's going on this month. Now I don't think they said it was. Yeah, so at the beginning of every month, Pokemon Go always like announces some of the stuff they do, and they did say that they were doing. I think they said World Cap Pikachu. We knew for a few days that that this Pikachu was coming out. But I do agree with you. Like, I feel like when you're like, I don't know if this was like people are sick of costumed Pikachu. We have another costumed Pokemon event going on right now, so we should only do this one for an hour. I do not understand the reasoning here. Like, I get it. I'm sure this Pokemon will be coming back. I don't actually think this is the only time we'll ever get World Cap Pikachu. And the reason, you know, the other thing they don't talk about is because, you know, this entire World Cap Pikachu came out on Tuesday to celebrate the fact that the Pokemon Journeys moved to a new time slot over in Japan. And next week, just so, you know, our readers or listeners know, they're doing Original Cap Pikachu during the Spotlight Hour. So, you know, set your calendars, mark it on your calendars, set your timers. Don't put your children down at 6 p.m. local time if you want that Pokemon.
This is all accurate information.
Anyways,
we're also getting an autumn event.
We are. It's berry themed because berries go along with autumn. No, they don't at all. I don't think so. The big thing is they're adding Deerling and Salzbuck into the game, which I don't know how many people follow the Pokemon Home, like kind of here are the Pokemon that are really hard to get through like trading services and Pokemon Home. Deerling and Salzbuck are two of those Pokemon. So grab them now on Pokemon Go because, you know, those things are tough to get in Pokemon Home because they haven't been like really in the game since I think like Gen 6.
Yep.
So Deerling is going to be introduced because, you know, that is the seasonal Pokemon. Berries will be twice as effective. You'll get twice as much candy, when you use a Peanut Berry. Some of the Pokemon that will be featured all have, I guess, autumn themes. Oddish, Bayleaf, Hoothoot, Sudowoodo, Yanma, Pinecone, Zigzagoon, Seedot, Shroomish, Plantcloak, Burmy, and Fungus, along with Vulpix for some reason.
Like, maybe half of those, I feel like, fit the theme.
Yeah, I don't understand the Vulpix thing. Maybe I'm missing, like, a disconnect. Like, our
probably because it's the color of it.
Are nine-tailed foxes, like, associated with autumn?
Not really.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, I don't know what's the disconnect there. But, yeah, Vulpix. And you'll get shiny Vulpix will be the new shiny Pokemon, so that Pokemon will finally be available. That starts on October 9th and it only runs through October 12th. So this is another one that was like,
that's very short.
Yeah. So
in shiny Vulpix's color scheme, I hadn't seen one. I just pulled it up.
What is it?
It's still a little green in the face, but it's a bit more like yellow. Like her base fur is a bit more yellow or golden.
It's a golden one. Okay. The big thing is, the one that I always liked is the shiny Ninetales. That, like, ghost Ninetales. That looks freaking awesome.
Yeah, it looks so, so cool. That's an interesting array of Pokemon to choose from.
I got it. Vaguely plant-themed, vaguely plant themes. I guess, you know, that's...
Fungus. Let's go with Fungus.
okay, I can see it. And then Vulpix. It's like... Like, I don't know, like, maybe it's because Vulpix has, like, red fur, there are red leaves.
Yeah, that's legitimately all I could think of. It kind of reminds me of a pumpkin spice latte. That's, like, what Pokemon evoke the sense of a pumpkin spice latte? Vulpix.
It would be the pumpkin Pokemon, like...
I know, so why aren't they part of it? Well, yeah, I am, like, why are they not in it? I guess they're wanting to associate it more with Halloween.
Isn't Pumpkaboo a Gen 6 Pokemon? That's why.
Yeah, I believe so. But still, yeah. Come on, guys. It's 2020. Pump give cup us, excuse me. Give us something. Give us something. Other than fungus.
No, since we can't have gourds, we get mushrooms instead.
Very true. Very true. Very true.
Let's see. Oh, and we, speaking of hats and Pikachus, we have another Cap Pikachu has been released for Pokemon Sword and Shield fans. The Hoenn Pikachu is now available.
I'm legitimately getting all of my Pikachu hats confused at this point.
This was Ash's second hat. So the code is Pika Advance, only with a 1 in place of the I, for those of you who don't want to look up the code. So this is the third one following the original hat Pikachu and World Cap Pikachu.
Oh, I like that because, like, you played the game on a Game Boy Advance.
Advance, the anime was called Pokemon Advanced Generations or something like that. That season was called.
I like my reason better.
Yeah, okay.
I think everyone would probably prefer your reason.
No, go ahead.
So that's it for basically all of our new stuff. Deep dive for today was to really just kind of talk about a lot of the Halloween stuff that's coming up in the world of Pokemon in general. Mm-hmm. So I guess since we're on the topic of Sword and Shield, we'll start there and then go through some of the rest of it.
Yep. So it's a new month, which means a new rotation of special event Pokemon in max raid battles. And since it's Halloween, we're getting ghost type and dark type max raid battles. The big ones being Gigantamax Gengar and Gigantamax Grimmsnarl. So if you don't have those Pokemon yet, get them.
Yep. So and it'll probably give you just a better opportunity to, you know, potentially get a shiny version. Since they're going to be appearing more frequently.
They're not doing any like shiny events. Now, mind you, I say that and watch like tomorrow they announce we're doing a shiny Gengar event and it only runs for 24 hours. that's what they do.
And I tell you what though, that G-Max Gengar is still one of the freaking best.
Coolest.
Yeah. Well, it's literally the gateway to hell. I mean.
Yep.
Yeah. It's just a pretty, like, pretty creepy, spot on haunted for the
hell
season.
House.
I really like that. I don't think I have a Gigantamax Gengar yet. So maybe I'll hop back on while I'm doing Crown Tundra stuff, because that comes out here in just 2 weeks.
Yep.
Yikes.
It's coming in fast.
So we're getting speaking of ghost types, we're getting this week or this month, we're getting Shedinja. Is returning to Pokemon Go. Jim, do you have a Shedinja?
Stop. Why? You don't even ask the question you know the answer to. Yes. No, I don't have a Shedinja.
Ah, there it is. That's why you should admit it on tape.
Why, how many Shedinjas do you have?
A lot, actually. I have at least like 5 or 6. When they did the event, because I thought it was like the only chance to get one, so I like loaded up. I traded one of mine to my neighbors, just because they didn't have one, and because they didn't play the game when the last time Shedinja was like regularly involved. So yeah, so that's your research breakthrough. So you know, play Pokemon Go for 7 days, complete those quests, and then you too can get a Shedinja, just like me, but not Jim.
Wow.
Wow, that was a very direct attack.
I'm relentlessly positive when it comes to my attacks.
Relentless, yes. Positive, that's still
a question. It was a very positive attack.
That's also, like, Shedinja's actually a pretty cool design.
Mm-hmm.
For a bug Pokemon, I mean, let's, like, bug Pokemon, I feel like sometimes, with the exception of, like, Scyther or whatever, like really get like the short end of the design stick, but Shedinja's kind of a cool one.
It's cool. It's got a really creepy history to it because, you know, you look into its hole that you're not supposed to look into because it takes away your soul. You see that hole every single time. So that always makes me laugh. And the other, my big regret, the thing that I like about Shedinja is it's got hypothetically a very cool ability where if a move is not super effective against it, it doesn't impact it at all because it only has one HP. The problem is that between Bug and Ghost, that's like half of moves hit, and it's a guaranteed kill. It's like, oh man, like, you know, if they could just like tweak that somehow, make it a little bit sturdier, you know, it could really like shift the meta. But it won't because, you know, it's just one of those. It was in a lot of ways it was like one of the first gimmick Pokemon.
Now that I'm looking at it, I kind of have to take back my most Bug Pokemon got the short end of the stick because, like, I can't forget Pinsir or Heracross. Even like Parasect and Beedrill also have very cool designs too. I just don't
Beedrill
like the ones that are
pretty
like,
awesome.
Yeah, it's just like the newer Bug Pokemon, I think, aren't as. Although I say that, and like, you know, I totally forgot like Vikavolt, right?
But, yeah.
Oh yeah.
You know, that I really like that Pokemon. No, there's a lot of cool Bug Pokemon. I mean, some of them are weird, but
yes.
I've just described the Pokemon franchise.
yeah, I mean, there's always going to be the arguments about Pokemon designs. Like, oh, the early ones are great, but like a lot of new fans look at those and they're like, that's a little lazy. But we say the same thing about new generation. So just a bunch of people yelling at kids on their lawn.
Yeah, I was about to say, because you got cool Pokemon like Orbeetle, Golisopod. I mean, Golisopod. Is that how you say it? Golisopod? Golisopod?
Yeah.
You know, that's a cool one. Vikavolt, Genesect, Volcarona. You know, Volcarona is awesome. Like, people thought that was like a legendary Pokemon for the longest time. Galvantula is a cool one.
Oh, yeah.
It's, you know, even like, you know, Scolipede. I like Scolipede. It's just you get kind of lame ones like
Yanma and Yanmega.
Yeah. Or,
no.
I was going to say Levani. Like, I can't stand that Pokemon. Or Wormadon and the Burmeleon. Those are
I really like Surskit. I don't really like, but I do like Combee. I think Combee's pretty cute.
Arachnid. I love Arachnid. I think Arachnid's great.
I don't understand Pineco. Like, how is that a bug Pokemon and not a grass Pokemon? Like, just full grass.
I don't know.
I mean, it's a pine cone. It's not a bug.
Maybe a bug crawled in the pine cone, and that's how all began.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. It's kind of weird to be a pure bug type.
How we have like those like walking like the walking stick bugs or whatever, the stick bugs.
We
just have pinecone bugs instead, which is horrifying, but like I'm sure they look at our stick bugs in real life and be like, that's weird.
Well, and with Pineco, like it talks about how it like adds layers of tree bark to make it like harder. That's just I do like it just looks like a pine cone. That's what
I mean, you can't but you also can't forget like the weird Ultra Beast bug Pokemon with like Buzzswole who's like
my gosh. Well yeah.
But then you have like supermodel, you have the supermodel in like Pheromosa who like Man, I was not expecting to go down this rabbit hole.
Woo, wow,
here
tangents.
Here we go.
Tangents. No deep dive, only tangents this week, guys.
Well, bug Pokemon are just such like a varied little niche of
creatures. Just because like it's just so funny because like even in like the first game, and it's been a stereotype that's been carried through all of them that like, you know, the bug trainers are always kind of like bratty and like thought they were cooler than everyone else.
Well, they're meant to be. It's partially because like the bug types, because they're, you know,
in the
early
parts of the game.
Yeah, those Pokemon are always almost always right there at the beginning. The issue is that every bugs, you know, bug types are, you know, it's got a lot of, you know, it's what is it? They're like highly resisted. So fairy fighting, fire flying, ghost, poison, and steel, you know, are all resistant to bug type attacks. Like, oh well, that kind of sucks. You know, that's why no one talks about you know, bug type Pokemon. I do feel, because grass type Pokemon also have a lot of things that are resistant to it. I do feel like it could be a little bit better balanced, you know?
Yeah.
But what do I know? Anyways.
Clearly not much.
Well, that's what some people have said.
But here we go. But here we go. This next bit. This is the last time you're going to get one of these warnings.
You mean the Umbreon Funko?
Funko.
Finally.
It's going to be made available.
So, okay, what are your thoughts about the Umbreon Funko? Have you guys taken a look at it?
Yeah, I think it's fairly plain, in my opinion. I can't say it's the best of the bunch. I still really think that Flareon and Vaporeon have the best molds of this whole, you know, Friends with Eevee line. It's not bad. It's just like coming out of a crescent mountain.
Is it worse than Leafeon? And yeah,
it's just literally like coming out from like behind like this kind of crescent shaped rock thing. It looks fine. The colors look good. Or at least I'll say for its like eyes and stuff.
I think the only thing that I don't want to say bothers me, right? Because it's like the whole line I thought has been really, really good, but all of them seem to be pretty expressive, and Umbreon is just kind of like,
well, that's what Umbreon peaking. Umbreon is kind of like the, you know, it's supposed to like be like the emotionless one.
He's kind of just like peeking around the corner, like he's not.
I wish, and I know they're, it would just make it probably not cost effective to do this kind of design, but I really hoped this whole time that Umbreon would be coming out of like a cave, like the thing around it would have been like a little cave and it would have been like peeking out. Like that would have been very on brand for this Pokemon. But we had this like little crescent looking thing. I'll be curious to see how this particular piece, as well as the Jolteon piece, which is also kind of bleh, Hoffer is showing us his awesome.
That's my big issue with it is like you compare it to the gallery figure and this one's cool. And like, you know, and I just don't feel it really like stacks up.
I mean, I think they're definitely leaning on the fact that you ideally have all of these together. So it creates a bigger impact when they're all, you know, whatever.
But man, that Vaporeon one is still one of the freaking best.
Yeah, that Vaporeon one. Yeah, they're all of mine are currently behind me. Where is Vaporeon?
I like that the Jolteon and Umbreon are kind of facing each other. That makes that Jolteon figure look a little bit
cool. Yeah.
Panorama.
Like, this Vaporeon is legitimately, like, such a cool dynamic pose. Got the cute little mouth. It's also, like, one of the bigger pieces, which makes me happy as a Vaporeon stan.
I wonder what they'll do next.
That's a good question.
That's a good question, yeah.
It'll be a year of Charizard.
Oh, no.
Just a bunch of Charizard.
Oh, no.
I'm putting it out into the ether. I mean, these things gotta be, we gotta be doing, like, a third year of it. Like, you know, these figures have all sold out. Like, you know, this is too profitable to not continue with these Funko.
They'll just do Pikachu again, but it's just going to be the Pikachu in hats.
Yeah, but I could see that.
Yeah, it could
like
be.
I feel like it would be more likely that we get, like, more Pikachu next year.
Yeah.
I wonder if they would do, I would, I mean, this is my hope. I know they would probably
costume Pikachu
is
not a bad idea either.
No, it's not.
Yeah. I want them to do, like, every month is a legendary Pokemon. That's what I would want, but it would be way too difficult to do that. But that's in my little hopes and dreams.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
Well, it's just kind of like, so these Funko figures, you know, even these ones, and they look great. Like, this is not a knock on the non-box head Funko figures at all. Like, I feel though they kind of like go for more simplicity, and simplicity works with Pikachu. You know, simplicity works for these Eevees. I do not think that simplicity is and legendary Pokemon are a thing that goes together.
They could always just do like Ditto. I would actually like a Ditto set.
Could you
a
see?
Ditto would be hilarious. Actually.
They did Ditto.
That's basically what the normal Funkos are.
They did. I didn't say that.
Wow.
See, they do Ditto figures over in Japan, and they look
And they look so cool. And they have like little, they're plushes. I have several of the Ditto like plushes of the Eevee evolutions. They're super cute and super funny. But I would love if they did like a themed Ditto for every month of the year that was just like a random Pokemon, but it's all, you know, Ditto. I think that'd be really cool.
That would be awesome. Well, we'll find out in January.
Yeah, and when Umbreon's in, I'll put all of mine together and I'll take a picture or video and I'll put it on our Twitter so you can enjoy it vicariously.
All right, let's do the Pokemon fact of the week. But Christian, I don't know if you're throwing a wrench into our normal plan here. What's going on?
It's spooky season, Jim.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Taking a break from our normal trip throughout the Pokedex to get spooky.
It's spooky season. Every October, dating back to last October, we have done a month of creepy Pokemon facts. And we're going back to that because it's spooky season, damn it.
Can't wait.
Honedge. Honedge, there are a couple of creepy facts about Honedge. First and foremost, Honedge, it is actually the spirit of someone killed by the sword. So Honedge is not actually the sword. It is a doomed spirit killed by the sword.
That's
right. It is basically Katana from the DC comics. You know, it is a soul sucking sword. This is designated by the fact that the actual body of Honedge is once again not the sword. It is the little eyeball on the sword. That is an actual Pokemon fact. So just remember the next time that you are running around with a Honedge, you are actually running around with the doomed spirit of someone murdered by the very, you know, it is trapped inside the very blade that murdered him or her.
It's
a human too. It is a human. It's not even like, Pokemon got stabbed. No, it was a human got stabbed and he got trapped in this sword for all eternity.
I mean, that makes it cool, though.
Doing a little bit more research, so there's a note in the Bulbapedia entry that says, Honedge is a Pokemon that resembles a sword from the medieval times. Oh, it resembles a sword from the medieval times. I thought it was from the medieval times. Okay, so question. Mm-hmm. Is this a thing where, like, the first Honedge, like, was created that way, and then it just had Honedge babies that were just copies of the Honedge?
We don't know how Pokemon eggs are made, Jim, so we can't answer that.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe what happens is when a Honedge wants to reproduce, it goes and it, you know, slaves in front of a forge for several months, crafting a new sword. Then it picks it up with its ribbon, thus becoming a Dewblade temporarily. And then it tricks somebody. It's like, oh, I'm going to catch this Dewblade. And then the Honedge is like, no, sucker, stab.
Oh, wow.
Maybe that's what honestly happens. It shanks somebody in the dead of night to reproduce. That's my theory.
Honestly, not a bad theory. I co-sign it.
I actually, I'm pretty proud of this one.
Yeah, I co-sign that theory. I have nothing to critique about it.
Also, this does like raise a secondary question. So in recent Pokemon animes, we've seen people running around on Honedge's like final evolution. Who's I'm like totally having a brain fart. So I apologize. Aegislash. Yeah. We see people running around. So it's like, how do you feel to be a Pokemon referee running around on like some soul damned for eternity to be stuck inside of a sword? Like, man, like, that's just, like, salt on the wound. Like, number one, like, here you are, minding your own business, you get stabbed by a sword, and suddenly you're stuck inside the sword. Two, you eventually gain a shield and then get turned into a writing implement for some, like, Pokemon official who doesn't even really do anything. Like, you know, because they aren't calling Pokemon penalties or anything like that. And also, it's pretty obvious when a Pokemon's been knocked out because they get swirly eyes.
Yeah.
Like, that is honestly, Pokemon referees have been largely turned superfluous with the rise of Rotom drone technology.
Honestly, though.
But anyways, yeah, that's right. You know, one of the cooler Pokemon lines of, you know, the last few generations is actually, of course, Souls Damned for Eternity.
Like, literally, Hone Edge sounds like it belongs in the anime Demon Slayer, so I'm, like, very much into it.
I'm okay with that.
Oh my gosh.
What?
Okay. Hold on.
Jim is still horrifying himself.
Jim is just, like, for the first time, like, has realized what is going on with this crazy-ass Pokemon.
Okay, so the Pokedex entry in Sword and in Shield for the Blade form goes... Once upon a time, a king with an Agislash reigned over the land. His Pokemon eventually drained him of his life, and his kingdom fell with him.
This is for Agislash, in case you.
Yeah,
this is
for Agislash. Sorry.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
That's great. So
did they become the rulers? And then it fell apart. I have so many.
Well, maybe because it says it. So in X. Agislash's dex entry reads, generations of kings were attended by these Pokemon, which used their spectral power to manipulate and control people and Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And also, it's the shield form in Shield. So the shield, Pokemon's Shield Pokedex entry for Agislash's shield form talks about how it once used its powers to force people and Pokemon to build a kingdom to its liking. So who really was the king? You know, did the king actually reign over the land? Or was it actually the Agislash, you know, who was doing the actual reigning? These are the deep questions that we wonder.
Imagine Pokemon like world history books. Like you're like a history major and you're trying to like memorize all of these rulers. You got to memorize the rulers. You got to memorize their Agislash. You got to figure out what was happening. Truly amazing. Truly.
Just, oh, Pokemon.
I love it.
So crazy.
I love it. This is why spooky season is the best season, Jim, because, you know, every week we find weird little tidbits about Pokemon, but only in October do we get to the really, truly disturbing ones.
Like, I feel like there has to be rules about Aegislash. Like, if you're, like, a world leader or a regional leader or politician, like, are there rules that you can't have one? No. Because it'll impact... Do they have, like... trainers around you at all time that if an Aegislash comes near you, they take it out? Like, I have questions. I guess you could always just use like a rappel.
Well, and this is like one of the disappointing things. It's just like, man, like, why is this Pokemon only be using why is it only used as you know, like a freaking referee freaking Pokemon? Like, that just drives me
probably
nuts.
Because they're trying to like keep it so powerless.
Like, Ash should use this one and then use it to convince Go to jump off a cliff.
Wow.
I just have a relentlessly positive outlook about Go's final fate.
Okay. Oh boy.
On that note,
thanks for listening, everybody. this show comes out every Thursday, wherever podcasts can be found. If you liked this show, head on over to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review if we read it on the air. When we get back to the office, we'll get a comicbook.com t-shirt out to you. Working on ways to see if we can maybe do that a little bit earlier, try and get some of those shirts and get them out. So I will we'll keep you all updated. Keep it locked to Pokemon Pod CB on Twitter, where we share all our Pokemon stories, have a little fun there, and beyond. Otherwise, if you want to talk to me on Twitter, you can find me at Jim Viscardi.
I'm over on Twitter at Megan Peters CB.
You can find my relentlessly positive outlook at Seahawk or Seabus.
Wow.
It's true.
All right, well, until next time.
He has, like, daily quotes of inspiration.
Until next time, we'll catch you guys next week.